Welcome to the podcast of tomorrow, a Futurama podcast where today we are discussing season 4, episode 9, Future Stock. I am Lindsay Wilson, joined as always by the shepherd of a herd of sharks, Alex Koontz. Alex, how's it going?
Yeah, what is it? Necks are for sheep.
That's right. Yeah, famously. Yeah.
I'm doing great, and I see the soundboard is lighting up. The lines are lines are lighting up. Who do we have on the line, Lindsay?
Oh my God, the caller, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hello, this is Jeremy Chasson. I am here to squeeze my way to the top. Thank you for letting me in. I realize the audio quality is not ideal. I'm calling you from a secure bunker. I'm about to be cryogenically frozen, so I can wait for the cure for bonitis. But yes, thank you for having me on.
I was going to ask, Jeremy, do you think that this episode is the Hank Scorpio of Futurama, where I feel like there's a lot of similarities between these two characters? And you saying that you're in an underground bunker is giving some Scorpio vibes.
You know what? You're right. Like, I don't think that guy, who is, by the way, in the script named Steve Castle, but is always referred to as that guy. I don't think that guy has quite the charm of like the Albert Brooks voice, but he's a wonderful character. He just doesn't quite have that same dimensionality, though. But you're right. It's sort of this like take no prisoners businessman who kind of sweeps everyone up in his larger than life personality. I really like this one. I feel like this one in Godfellas is quite an apex. Wait. Okay, so I think I can only be on here a limited time. Do you guys have specific things you want to ask me?
Sure. Tell us what you like about this episode. This was a very high point for you. I'm going to be honest. I didn't think it held up as well as I remembered, but still funny. But tell us what you like about it.
Of course. Wow. What a surprise. Lindsay Wilson disenchanted once again. Call that graining. We get another disenchanted episode. But no, that's okay. I really still really like it. I'll be honest, actually, I didn't watch the episode in advance, but I've watched it recently enough. I think I've slept like 28 of the last like 36 hours. So I meant to watch it and I just kept falling asleep. And then I woke up and it was time for work. And then I got off work and now it's time for podcast. However, a few notes I want to say is, first of all, so many great lines where they're like, well, mom is big and evil and we're small and neutral. And he's like, Switzerland is small and neutral. We're more like Germany, ambitious and misunderstood. I love describing Germany as ambitious and misunderstood.
Everybody wants to be like Germany.
We all want to be like Germany, but do we have the pure strength of will? Like Amy getting a little fascist on us. Also, kind of an interesting note for any nerds watching. I don't think it'll be that interesting. Have either of you two watched Avatar The Last Airbender?
No.
I have not, no.
Oh my God, what's wrong with you? But anyway, it's one of the greatest animated shows of all time. Now, the writer of this episode, he went on to great acclaim, Aaron Iaz or something like that, on Avatar. And okay, he's a problematic guy, by the way. Eventually he gets his own studio. He created the show Dragon Prince on Netflix as well, which is moderately popular. And it's kind of more geared to kids, and as like Avatar was. But he also wrote Crimes of the Hot. Do you remember the...
Yeah.
Well, I guess Alex might not. But the
Alex hasn't seen it yet.
He wrote that too. Okay. Yeah. So he's quite good. Like he seems to succeed wherever he goes, but he's also a sexist ass. So just wanted to make a note of that. He would like bring in his... When he gets his own studio, he'd like bring in his children and just give them to female staffers who were not daycare people and be like, yeah, you watch my babies now.
So, yeah, all of this well covered in his Wikipedia article. Seems like not the greatest guy, but Jeremy, you had his entire filmography down pat.
Oh yeah. I just honestly, Avatar: The Last Airbender. This is my pitch. Let's do a podcast about that. It's not too late. They've got the new show out. I'll guide you guys through it.
I believe I've watched one episode and, you know, it was fine. Similar to my Schitt's Creek experience, which I did watch the pilot
of for
Lindsay.
It's exactly like that. Except I'm also stuck on episode one of Schitt's Creek and I think I don't want to watch it. Honestly, it just bothers me. And
if we went back and checked the tapes, my exact words to Alex were, don't bother to watch the pilot.
But you know I can't do that.
You'd already seen it. You got the idea. You could go straight to episode two.
I'm Eugene Levy skeptical. No.
What?
I don't there's too many. I've seen them in Cheaper by the Dozen. I hate the stupid hotel motel guy. Who's the mayor or whatever.
This is the problem. You only watch the first episode. By the time that you actually settle into the show, it is like a warm hug. It is so good. It is so heartwarming. Incredible. Wonderful show.
I came into this podcast, for whatever reason, I was thinking, oh, me and Lindsay should do The Leftovers, which is my favorite show ever, which Lindsay has not seen, as far as I know, right? And so maybe the new podcast is watch one episode of The Leftovers, then the following week, watch one episode of Avatar, then the following week, watch one episode of Schitt's Creek, and we can call it Disenchanted, because 2/3 of us will be disinterested in the podcast at all times.
God. Well,
Jeremy, how is your Simpsons rewatch going? I know that you're going through some of the classic seasons. Any episodes in particular that are like hitting particularly well or particularly poorly?
Well, you know, I'm a little scared of what's happening, Alex, is that I'm finding I really am enjoying, maybe because I didn't watch them as much, but I'm finding I really like the grounded, heartwarming episodes. Mm. I'm worried the Schitt's Creek thing is starting to like climb up and like suffocate me, you know? Everything has to have heart now. Everything has to have heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, what happened to the pure absurdity? I just feel like my brain is slowly melting into my chest or something. And I
because everything is terrible and everyone wants to have things that make them feel not terrible.
Yeah, I think maybe that's it, because the world is burning. And I went, oh, it's actually nice to, yeah, like you don't want to be nihilistic in a world that feels very nihilistic, you know? I will say, before I finish, is, yeah, like Michi, who's watching it, you know, the my girlfriend, she really, I think, so far prefers season two the most. And she's into season four now. Yeah, because she likes the drama and the emotional heft. She was kind of disappointed that three was lighter. But now that she's in four, it's getting so much funnier. Like, it's starting to balance out. She just hit the monorail episode, and she really liked the monorail episode. So I'm like, okay, there's still hope for her.
Yeah. So I mean, this is...
She responds a lot to Bart content. She responds to him on an emotional level. Like, she... Like, her favorite episode is still Bart gets an F.
Yeah. Great episode.
Solid.
And she loves Lisa's first words, where Bart is jealous of Lisa.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so all this to say, future stock, pretty good episode. And
no, I think all this is great. I think people will enjoy it. People clamor for Jeremy.
They do. That is true.
Jeremy going on like a little bit of aggression just coming out about Schitt's Creek based on nothing.
Did you even tell us what you like about this episode? I can't remember. It feels like it was so long ago.
I came out with I thought they had some great lines. I talked with the character.
Yes, the Hank Scorpio.
What else is there? I mean, I like the safety dance. That's not as safe as they said it was. Breakaway stars Zoidberg. I think it's a really good Zoidberg episode. Also, a hell of a Scruffy episode. Like Scruffy believe. I was hoping to have an opportunity that I would be able to say that Jeremy believes in this podcast, but I lost it. And then he's just like, "What fever dream has threatens to rent this company in twain or something?" And then he just like licks his finger and turns the page on National Pornographic or something like that. Yeah, he shows up in a bunch of different moments. Oh, and I love Stu's. He has like the intercom assistant. I like that too.
Yes.
Ms. Johnson or something.
Yes, he's just a program built into the intercom.
Yeah, where he's like, I don't care what Ms. Johnson says, Fry. But anyway, I'm sorry. This is not a good podcast, but
I think this is great. I think this is better than all other, the average podcast that we do.
Oh, come on. All right, well, you guys have a good podcast, and sorry my life is in just such a disarray that I can't even do simple tasks.
Thank you for joining us, Jeremy.
You're doing great. Hang in there, buddy.
Bye.
Yeah. All right, bye.
Unusable.
Wow. You're so precious about your audio quality. I think that is totally fine. Yeah.
Anyway. Alex, how's it going?
It's good. It's been 2 weeks since we recorded. My parents were in... Or my dad was in town, which was nice. Watch Schitt's Creek, as we discussed.
I can't believe you only watched the first episode. You knew how it was going to go.
Yeah. So Laura's take on Schitt's Creek is that the mayor sucks and never gets good. And she's just like, I'm going to fast forward. Or she's just like, when I watch this, I fast forwarded through all the scenes because it was like never good. Do you stand by that? Or does the mayor ever?
He's the worst character by a lot. But I think he improves enough that like, I think that is unnecessary. Even by the end of like the first season, he's like, quite tolerable. They just like make him so over the top in the first episode just to make you hate him. And he's easily the worst character by a lot. Yeah. But it just gets so heartwarming.
Yeah, I don't know. Fine. As Jeremy has said, my heart has been warmed by many, many television programs in the past.
Yes, fair enough. Fair enough.
How were your 2 weeks? What were you up to?
It was my birthday,
Of
so
course.
celebrated that. Watched some Schitt's Creek on my birthday.
Nice.
What else? Not a whole lot else, really. It was a lot of work and then a lot of just like watching TV to recover from the work. So yeah, it's been quite a dull 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I did get a standing desk since we last recorded, I think. Or possibly I had it when we last recorded, but I now do my podcast standing up.
Wow, the
standing
energy.
Energy.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't think it's coming through at all.
Jeremy brought standing energy. I wonder if he was standing.
Certainly. I would say almost certainly.
Pacing.
Yes. Yeah, true. Probably.
Beloved ex-boss Adam texted a couple of thoughts. He texted a image of Betty Boop at a local roller rink, or like a statue of Betty Boop. So that's nice. He asked me, when was the last time you were at a roller rink? And I said, Skate City, circa 2003. Was roller rink like party dances like a thing in elementary school, middle
I have
school?
never been
You
to
guys?
a roller rink and don't
Wow.
even know where there is a roller rink.
Okay. Not a Canadian tradition.
Not anywhere. Like, I've seen them on TV shows and movies and stuff, and I'm like, I've never seen this in real life.
Yeah.
Like, if you told me that they don't exist, I'd believe you.
Interesting. Maybe that's a business opportunity in your small town, is you could open
Maybe.
the first Canadian roller rink.
I feel like because everyone ice skates, it's like, just go skating.
Yeah. A lot of hockey up there.
Yeah. Love a hockey rink. Yeah. So.
But Adam says, nice to hear you guys passionate about media. Looking forward to the Parks and Rec / Elden Ring podcast. So I think Jeremy is
Hilarious.
bringing exactly what Adam is hoping for. A lot of passion.
A lot of passion. Yes. What did you think of this episode? I feel like we got Jeremy's thoughts and some high level opinions, but what did you think?
I loved it. I kind of agree with Jeremy. Between Godfellas and then this back to back, I think that this is certainly the like highest I have been on Futurama. I was wondering if this was like a beloved episode. I kind of assumed it was, because again, it was just kind of bringing like Hank Scorpio energy. I mean, I knew that Jeremy loved these episodes, and so that maybe was like biasing my opinion of like, okay, Jeremy said that he wants to come on for some of these, so I knew that these were good. But yeah, I thought it was very strong.
Is
Loved
it
the
not a beloved
character.
episode? You said you assumed it. Did you then look into it
I
and
didn't
it's not?
really see, like, in the Wikipedia pages, you know, sometimes there's like, oh, this is like the ninth best episode according
Right.
to this random list, and it didn't have any of that, so I'm assuming it's not super high up.
Yeah, I think it's good. I don't think it's amazing. I remember liking it more before. I think it's one of those ones where I've seen it so many times that maybe it's just like it kind of killed it. But there were
Yeah.
definitely a bunch of lines that I was like, oh, that's very funny. I think maybe the 80s stuff, it's like, wow, it's such a long time ago. I don't know if it still holds up in the same
Yeah.
way. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely agree with that, where I don't really know what this character is supposed to be, right? Just like generic
Yeah.
80s man. But I think like the over greedy businessman is a tried and true character and still applicable to this very day.
Slicking his hair back and stuff.
Yeah. Fry makes his own hair slick, which is great.
Very gross. Yeah.
Yeah. Vulture.com has it at the 13th best episode of Futurama. So yeah,
okay. Well,
that's up there.
Yeah, it's up there. Yeah, I certainly would have had it outside my top 10. I'd say I probably have it like around 20 or something if I had to arbitrarily rate them. So not super far off. But yeah, very good. And I think we've been in a good run here for a little bit where we had like the Pharaoh episode, which I think was pretty good. And then we had Godfellas and now this one. And so yeah, good last three, I think.
Yeah, I do kind of remember during my one and only viewing of Futurama, I do kind of remember it really, I really start to like it a lot more, and it like kind of like picked up speed, and I kind of remember, oh, binging a lot of it very quickly as I got further into the season. And so I'm curious if that's kind of what we're hitting, where it's like, okay, they've found their footing. Every episode feels a little bit more height, I guess. I think that that's what I would, how I would describe this episode. If there's like not a ton of wasted stuff.
Yes.
I'm definitely tired of like Planet of the Week stuff. Like the Egyptian episode was good, and I think better than a lot of the Planet of the Week episodes, but like that format is definitely growing a bit tired. And so I think that this one was like very, like that they kept it on Earth. I like that they didn't have any bike races. I didn't like that they, you know, did anything crazy. It was just kind of a pretty straightforward episode.
Yeah, I'm looking back and like we had Leela's Homeworld was pretty recently, and like the Roswell one was pretty recently. Yeah, season four turning out to us nice, I think.
Yeah, I will say, looking back on Roswell, I think that that may be the one that has not held up as well for me. Of like, I definitely would not have thought that that was an iconic episode if I didn't know it was an iconic episode. And like all these other episodes, I think are kind of better than I expect, and Roswell was worse than I expect.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe your expectations were too high.
Yeah.
But yeah, it says that the title of this is a wordplay on Future Shock, a book written by the futurist Alvin Toffler in 1970.
There we go.
So who knew?
All right. Well, let's turn this podcast into a private company and then we'll be breaking it in.
Yes, hopefully. God. We did have a little blip in the old downloads recently, and I was like, it's happening, Alex, but we've gone back to normal.
Yeah, in fact, maybe below normal. I saw, I think, Egyptian episode did not do very well. Nobody cared to download A Pharaoh to Remember.
Yeah.
They knew we were going to be negative.
Whoa, 79.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there was a problem with it showing up in people's feeds, because all the other numbers are so consistent.
Yeah.
I kind of think, yeah. God, devastating. I seem to recall it not showing up for a while in my feed. So
interesting.
Maybe it got lost. Devastating. Anyway, so let's open up this episode. Let's see. We start off and it is...
Lindsay, you've skipped Boop Corner.
So sorry. I scrolled past to get to the title. It's Wordplay on Future Shock.
Yes.
Terrible. It's like I forget how to do this. The opening caption, Alex, is Love It or Shove It.
Sure. Why not?
So that's like a, I don't know, byline for this podcast. We either love it or shove it.
A lot of shoving going on.
Yes, indeed. But yeah, so Boop Corner, Alex, what do you got?
I just wrote Uncut Gems. It's some character looking at a big diamond.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is called Jingle Jangle Jungle by Famous Studios, and it is from the year 1950.
Mm-hmm.
Jingle Jangle Jungle. Let's see if I can tell you more about it.
Jingle Jungle 1950. 6 minutes and 35 seconds on YouTube.
Probably problematic. Includes a sing-along about called Civilization.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. An animated short about life in Africa. Non-PC. Yeah, that doesn't seem good.
Yeah.
Frozen.
Quote, the darkest continent. Jingle, jangle, jungle. Don't watch it. Cancel it. You know, nothing good to be had there. Did you ever see Uncut Gems?
I didn't.
Okay. It's fun. It's very chaotic. It's like a anxiety heart attack in a movie.
It was very funny when I said it was a non-PC cartoon. You were frozen in the ultimate cringe phase for the entire time I was describing it. It was very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly it seems like one of the worst of these cartoons that we have talked about.
Very bad. Very bad. Yeah. So go watch Uncut Gems instead, I guess.
Yeah. 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 Uncut Gems. Very, very intense. Kevin Garnett, basketball player of the Minnesota Timberwolves when we were growing up, is in it. So that's fun.
Okay. I feel like I saw it advertised somewhere one time. Uncut Gems. Maybe it was at TIFF for the brief moment when I lived in Toronto when there was stuff happening.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. All right. Can I introduce the episode?
Yes, let's do it.
Great. So we are at the annual stockholder meeting. It's at the Logitorium Comfort Inn, and you can either get free in-room porn or a Bible. And I thought that was a very funny way to open it.
Yeah, I like that they're just like in one of these giant conference rooms at a dumpy hotel. It does kind of blow my mind when you stay at a hotel we stayed at a hotel in North Carolina, like outside of the Raleigh city center, you know, like 20 minutes outside of Raleigh. And it had like giant conference rooms and giant business centers. And it's like, who's staying in this hotel and using these giant business centers?
Who's doing this?
Yeah.
Yes, Cam is presently at a meeting, a conference, and it's like in a conference hotel. And he was like, this place is like clearly designed just for conferences. Like, this is all that is happening here. So Farnsworth is being like ushered out to give his little speech or whatever. And he's particularly bumbling in this episode.
Very confused.
Yes. Yes. He's like, oh God, I'm dead. When they say like, oh, stand in the light or whatever.
Yeah. Right. He says, oh yeah. Walked towards the light. And he thinks he's dead. He says, I don't recognize you, nor do I remember why I'm here.
Yeah. And I also enjoyed when he said like, I'm dead. And he's like, well, no matter. And then he continues.
Yeah.
Yeah, they show a film that's showing their last fiscal year. Tomorrow is today. Today is yesterday. A year of soaring profits and significant one-time losses.
Yeah, as the spaceship crashes back down into a planet.
Yes.
Have you seen the video of the Staples convention unveiling their new corporate logo?
No.
It's great. It's like a complete parody. This video in Futurama very much reminded me of it. Of they have this like highly overproduced, like flashing lights everywhere in the video. It's like a dark amphitheater of all these people watching it. And it's unveiling the new Staples logo, which is the stupidest logo ever. It's the old Staples logo. The L was like a bent staple, which was a great iconic classic, you know, logo from the 80s or 90s. And the video slowly unbends the staple and turns it, and it becomes like the E in Staples or something. It's an iconic video. I really recommend going and watching it.
I'm Googling the new Oh, there's just like a whole bunch of angry things about it.
Yeah.
Ridiculous logo unveiling.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Staples America ridiculous logo unveiling. That's a good watch.
All right. Well, that's good stuff. I think the one that is nearest to me still has the old one.
Yeah, I actually, they might have got mocked so badly for this video that they just canceled the
Left it.
entire rebrand.
Possible. All right. So Fry's like, oh, I'm watching myself work in this video and it's making me hungry. Let's go find food. And they break into a bat mitzvah, which is some clever use of bat.
Yes. So, yeah, I guess this is making fun of the like various other activities that will be happening in a like dumpy hotel conference room. Yeah, there's a bat mitzvah and then there's like a cryogenic freeze support group is happening in one of these rooms as well.
Yes, exactly. I did like them not letting Zoidberg into the bat mitzvah.
Yeah. Have you ever been to one of these? Have you ever been to like a hotel conference, that kind of thing?
I've been to a hotel conference, but never like one that had that kind of other event going on. It was like just that thing.
Yeah. Like the closest I've been is Comic-Con. It's like going to Comic-Con, those hotels kind of feel like this where everyone's milling around like in their costumes and all doing the same stuff.
Camps at the place where he is. He's pretty sure that the like presenter hall or whatever, they said that it's like half a mile long or something.
Wow. The longest hall in all of Florida.
In all of the land.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. While they're wandering around, Hermes is informing everyone that the company is on the verge of bankruptcy and it's just been a terrible year. And they're like, but the movie like was a substantial loss for the company.
Yeah, they show a graph of their profits and then also like an $8 fee or something. And the $8 fee is like 2/3 of this graph.
Yeah, an $8 bank error in our favor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, their stocks are completely worthless. And this is where we get, I think her name's Hattie. And it's that old woman who always has the cats. And she's like, I'm entitled to some answers because I have one share of this company and that will pay off later.
Yes, definitely inspiration from the crazy cat lady from The Simpsons. Essentially the identical characters.
Yes, just somewhat more articulate. But yeah, so as you mentioned, there's this cryogenic support group and it also has free food. And so Fry's like, amazing, I can go get free food from here. And yeah, there's some good stuff here. Like the caveman who's like, my wife was in a museum. And my favorite was the guy who was like, when I was frozen, giant carrots ruled the earth. Now they don't. And it takes some getting used to.
Yeah, I also like the eclectic group of cryogenically frozen people from all sorts of different eras. And yeah, this is where we are introduced to the Wall Street guy.
Yes. So Jeremy mentioned that his name is Steve Castle, and it says he's never referred to by his name. I'm pretty sure he does say it, but no one actually calls him that.
Interesting.
I think that's how it goes. Because I was like reading the Wikipedia about it. I was like, who the hell is Steve Castle? But I think he does say it. But he says basically that he was like living it up being an 80s guy back in the 1980s. I don't know if we said this, but anyway, but he has bonitis, and the company that was working on a cure, he did a hostile takeover of their company and then he froze himself until a new cure could be found.
Yeah, bonitis classic. I mean, I think that the most iconic bonitis line comes at the very end of the episode, which we'll save towards the end, but classic disease here for poor that guy.
Yeah, exactly. I have it written down as that guy in several places.
Yeah.
So basically, this guy is like, oh, Fry, you and I are from the same time, like we should be friends or whatever. And they're bonding over the safety dance. And he refers to them as a couple of Reaganauts.
Yeah. Fry says it's not as safe as they said it was, kind of dejectedly.
Yes. Do you have any opinions about the safety dance?
I don't know what it is. I know it mostly from Scrubs. They do the safety dance at one point in Scrubs, but I don't think I've ever heard it outside the context of a sitcom.
Yeah, it has quite an iconic music video by the band Men Without Hats. And it's like people frolicking in a field and it's like sort of May Day medieval kind of energy.
And it's safe. Why is it the safety dance?
You can dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind if your friends don't dance. And if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. And you can dance. And that's the whole thing.
Yeah. Doesn't seem relevant to safety.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's like, it's okay. It's a safety dance. Yeah. I don't even recall there actually being like an associated dance
to go with it. Yeah, it does sound like it would be like the Macarena or something. If you name something the safety dance, you would assume that there's a titular dance to go along with it.
Yeah, based on the lyrics and kind of the way that they say it, it's almost like it's safe to dance. And so it's like, it's a safe space for dancing here.
Maybe it was a transcription error. Maybe it is safe to dance.
It's safe to dance. That's what we'll go for the rest of our time, referencing the safety dance. All right. So Fry's basically like, well, I could beg everyone at the company that I work for to give you a job. I'm not really sure why. Like, he just says, like, we could take over the world. And he's like, well, I'll give you a job.
I think he's just instantly enamored by his, like, can-do attitude.
I guess so. Yeah. Does he explicitly say, like, I need a job?
That guy? I don't think so.
He's ready to sleaze his way back to the top 80s.
Yeah.
Style.
I mean, I think he's just ambitious.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And so we cut back to the shareholder meeting and everybody is mad about the situation. Let's see. Hattie wants to get rid of the professor as the CEO because he insulted her cat. And Scruffy's just sitting there the whole time. Like, every time anyone suggests anything, he's like, second.
Yeah, Scruffy, this is where it's revealed that Scruffy has 40,000 stock to the company. Everyone else has 10,000 or something. Yeah. And yeah, Scruffy really believes in the company.
I love that. He like takes off his hat and he sort of wells up. He's like, Scruffy believes in this company.
Yeah. It is interesting to think about how they are like slowly discovering Scruffy, where he has like been very background in a couple of episodes now, and he is slowly starting to get more and more lines. I feel like they really grew to love Scruffy as the series progressed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Fry instantly enamored with this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy, because he's like immediately just completely willing to throw the professor under the bus, or they're like, we need a new CEO. And he's like, I nominate this guy over here. And yeah, anyway, because Scruffy has 40,000 shares and Fry has his 10,000 shares and Hattie has one, it makes that guy the new CEO.
Yeah, it is interesting of like, why does Fry buy into that guy so much again, other than just like his charisma? Because it's like throughout the rest of the episode, Fry is going to like be completely against what that guy is trying to do, at least by the end of the episode, of just run the company without any sentimentality. So I'm not quite sure like what brings about Fry's, you know, faith in him.
That is a good point, because at the end of it, he's going to be like, I love everything about this company as it is, so let me change everything. But right. I guess he does say that, something to the effect of like, there comes a moment when someone has like an abrupt reversal of behavior or whatever. But yeah, he says like, this guy knows about business and stuff, and he has a tie. So, I mean, good enough for Fry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically, he's the new CEO. And oh yeah, this is where he's basically just like, I'm going to change everything, and everyone's pissed and hates him. And that's when we get the Sharks comparison.
Yeah. Zoidberg had some great line about being the ones that like to be hugged. Do you have that?
Yes. Yes, I do. So he's going to say, yeah, people are one of two things. They're either sheep or sharks. Anyone who's a sheep is fired. Who here is a sheep? And then Zoidberg says, which one is the one people like to hug? He says, gutsy question. You're a shark.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, Zoidberg really takes a liking to that guy, even though he's saying like the exact opposite things that guy wants to hear. But he sticks with him anyways. So yeah, and then the other line is, sharks don't look back because they don't have necks. Necks are for sheep.
Yes, yeah, I'm proud to be the shepherd of this herd of sharks.
this is all of the Hank Scorpio vibes that I was getting.
Yes, all of it is very good. Hank Scorpio seemingly more successful than this guy. I don't know.
That is, but at the same time, Hank Scorpio has quite a downfall similar to this guy.
Fair, yes. He also just at this moment finds out that it's a package delivery company. He's like, what? Yeah. All right, fine. And then he's going to blame everything on the guy before him. And I do like the professor here being like, I'll ruin you like I ruined this company.
Fry is excited to be vice chairman. He says, I'm rolling up the corporate ramp.
Yes, yes. And everyone is like, oh God, we're ruined. And even Scruffy is like, this is going to tear this company in twain, even though it was his fault that this even happened.
Yeah, that is true. This is all Scruffy's fault.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Part of why I think Fry is so smitten with this man immediately, like gets him a makeover, buys him a nice suit, gets him an assistant.
Yep. Fry makes his own hair gel, which is very gross. Nice little sound effect there as he's like slicking back his hair.
Little like.
Yeah. Yep.
Gross. Yeah. They're going to shoot straight to the top and stay there just like Cyndi Lauper. And so this is where we get the stuff about how I just want to call him that guy. It's fine. That guy, he's like, we have to take down mom and her friendly package delivery company or whatever. And yeah, it's like, we're going to take her down. And then that's where we get the whole sequence about like, we can't compete with mom. Her company is big and evil and we're small and neutral. And I'm like, no, we're more like Germany, ambitious and misunderstood.
Yeah, more great lines of like just ranting, making comparisons and metaphors. Kind of an underrated, or under the radar at least, mom episode. I definitely did not remember this as a mom appearance. And, you know, she's in it for a lot of the rest of the episode, but kind of it's not loom large. I think the other side character really takes the spotlight. So I actually thought it was like a good appearance for mom, where it's not too over the top.
I agree. I had the same thought, where this is probably the least mom focused episode that has mom in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think she's well utilized here, where you're not getting tired of her by the end of it. It's just like she's this kind of villain that you get a little bit out of here and there.
Yeah. It isn't thinking about how, I mean, she kind of feels like Mr. Burns in this episode, where she's just like a villain that's looming in the distance and is just like, it's not an episode about her. And it is kind of interesting how Futurama doesn't have the same, Springfield type quality of, so many established characters and any of them could show up at any moment and it's not out of place. There, Futurama is much more about like guest star episodes, which is a little bit strange. Maybe it's one of the reasons why I like this episode, because it feels a bit more like The Simpsons, where it's just kind of like the daily goings on of, New York.
And we talked about it a little bit at the beginning, where it's like we've had like these grounded episodes that seem to work quite well. So yeah, I think like the stakes feel reasonable in this one.
Sure.
Yeah. So, all right. So we find out that the secret to success is about appearances. And so that's why Castle, that guy, is going to now update everything. He's like changing the chairs to hover chairs, and he's making a new stupid ad, and he wants to change the name of the company from Planet Express to Planex.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Big Staples energy, big Boeing energy. I don't know if you've been seeing all of the Boeing news of how, oh, this company has now been destroyed, because it's like run by a
All the
bunch of
bads are
business
happening.
people.
All the bad things that are happening.
Yes, exactly. All the bad things that are happening. And yes, right. This company's being destroyed by all the business people that are like, doing things more focused on image and brand rather than like making good airplanes.
Right. Safe airplanes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And like, even the ad is so funny here, where it's like mom propaganda stuff, where she's like in this big gray video, like talking down to them, and they have a Planet Express person come and like throw a package at mom. It's like, well, people won't even know what we
Explodes.
do.
Yeah, I don't even know what we do. What are we, a bus or something?
Yes. And Fry, did you approve that awful ad? Yes, I did, Leels.
Yeah, it depends if I say it grows the brand, which again, yeah, a little misguided.
Yes, this is a very heavily focused episode on shares of the company. And so we get another moment here where Zoidberg is going to sell off his shares for a sandwich because he believes that the company is circling the drain. And so that guy all too keen to do that.
Yeah, Zoidberg thinks he has a good deal here. He says, "I would have settled for a hard roll with ketchup inside."
You got fleeced.
Yeah.
Yeah. And however, this does seem to be working. They got featured in a magazine or something as the new delivery kings. And so mom is taking notice of them and is like, all right, well, I'm going to have to destroy them.
Yes, very short mom scene there.
Very quick. Like she just does a little thing where she's on the treadmill and hold their hand out, smacks all
That's
three of
true.
them, and that
Yeah,
was pretty fun.
some good smacks to the children. That's true.
Yes. And so they're at Elzar's and mom shows up for a meeting. Funny line from Fryer, he's like, I'll take a glass of all of your water.
Yeah, right. I was our serving our richest, most successful chumps.
Yes, we tried not to break down just all of the funny lines with Jeremy, but this was probably the one that we quoted the most, where Fry is working on his business speak or whatever. And he's like,
Execu speak, they call it in
execute
the
speak.
episode.
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly. And he's like, what if someone says to you, I'm worried about blank, Alex?
Yeah, blank, blank. You're not looking at the big picture.
Yes, but our favorite was, don't you worry about blank. Let me worry about blank.
Yeah. All of this was very good at the dinner, but yeah, they really cap it off with it later in another scene. Leela and Amy come in and they say, "Oh, we're worried about Planet Express." And he says, "Don't worry about Planet Express. Let me worry about blank."
Yeah, so let me worry about blank. Yeah, very good. It's in the very next scene where Fry has been like, I'm gonna go, like, you handle this stuff with mom. And he's there ironing his tie. And then, yeah, like, don't you worry about Planet Express. Let me worry about blank. So immediate payoff, but it's very good.
Yeah, that guy very good with the execu speak to end this dinner. He says, "Get back to the farm, shift some paradigms, revolutionize outside the box." All very good.
All of it, yes. And Leela says, you've changed, Fry. And then that's when he like hits his intercom and he's like, Sue, have I changed? Like, no, sir, Mr. Fry. Thanks, Dell. I don't care what Miss Johnson says.
When Suze was introduced, did you immediately think of Seinfeld, the
Yes,
Suze? Yeah,
the
I'm glad
Sue's.
that you did. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Susie.
But that's the episode with
The
Believe It or Not,
song.
George isn't home. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that because there have been times where I've been like, what's that episode? And I've always like, it's this episode. But I
Yeah.
feel like I have it locked down now that it's that one.
I experienced that as like a high schooler, where it was like, oh, I saw that episode for the first time, loved the George moment singing Believe It or Not, George Isn't at Home. And then had to look at what the episode was and then had to like explicitly TiVo the Suze or the Susie when it came on. So it's like, oh, gotta get that one.
Gotta have that forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. All right. So Fry says that this is like a family and that guy understands that. And then that's when that guy shows up and he's like, everyone's fired and we're out of business. I'm telling the company to mom and she's going to get the company and eliminate us as her competitors.
Yes. They say, yeah, this isn't a business. I've thought of it as a source of cheap income labor, like a family.
Mm-hmm. Just like a family. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it is true. Any company that guilts you into like, oh, we're a family. We gotta like work hard, long hours, all that stuff. Big red flag.
Leave immediately. If your company refers to you as family, like they are just going to use that opportunity to exploit you.
Yeah.
So, huge red flag.
Yeah.
All right. So everyone is furious at Fry and he's like, no, I was just an innocent suck up. I promise I had nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah. Everyone's packing their stuff. Amy's like crying, but has the butler there to like whisk her away and console her.
Take her to a cotillion.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
You ever been to a cotillion?
Of course not. Have you been to a cotillion?
No, I went to my dad was the principal of a private school. And so I went to this private school, which was like, probably a one social class higher than where my family was. And so there was some like debutante balls that the very fancy girls in my class would occasionally go to. I was never invited to one. You might be shocked to learn.
I am shocked.
Never was the date to the debutante ball.
The debutante ball. Incredible. I associate that very strongly with Gilmore Girls. Right. So Fry's having like a crisis of faith where he's like, oh God. And he's asking the intercom, like, am I a good person? And he's going to redeem himself by blocking the takeover.
Yes. He has to reschedule his various magician appointments. So that's the thing that was on his calendar that he had to move around.
It's like, I have more important things to do than laugh and clap my hands. Reschedule. Yeah. Yeah. So he's going to the stock exchange and all of the shareholders are there. And I was interested that there's like, I assume this doesn't happen at the real stock exchange where they're like, announcement, this is happening imminently. Stop what you're doing.
Yeah, right. Yes, the master of scheduling. I wrote down he's extremely sinister, just like a giant head booming over the crowd of people. I don't know anything about the stock market. I don't know if it is actually, I mean, this is what in Futurama here, it's always what you see in the movies of like people on the floor, like yelling and waving tickets for some reason and like trying to get someone's attention, which seems like not the way to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel like it must happen all online now mostly online. Yeah.
But it must... I don't know. Maybe it still exists. I wonder if there's like a live feed of New York Stock Exchange. I should look
probably. We got the ticker, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, I do love that this new location of the like space stock exchange, I think is a very fun new location that we've never seen before.
Yes, I liked it too. I thought it works well. But it turns out that both companies have to agree to this takeover. And so they get to vote on it. And they're like, oh, amazing. We can stop this. So nothing bad has to happen. But because Zoidberg sold his shares, now that guy has the majority control and can do this. Seems like Fry has no shares anymore.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe he sold it to that guy. As the employees are ready to vote down this takeover. I don't know who says it. I'm going to guess it's the professor. Someone says, I'll vote it down like a raise for school teachers.
Yeah, I also have that written down. Yes, and it turns out that Zoidberg had 51%, which doesn't seem to align with what we knew from before.
No, it's that guy had a certain percentage, and then Zoidberg's stocks like put him over the edge to become majority. That's how I interpreted it.
Well, so because they say Zoidberg had 51%, and Hermes says the shares were worthless, and he kept asking for toilet paper.
Sure.
Because so I think that guy didn't have any; he just bought them all from Zoidberg.
I see. Wow. Yeah. Zoidberg really blew it.
Maybe they just gave out more shares. I don't know. But anyway, so you really blew it.
I think that happens at actual companies where it's just like, oh, we hired another person and they need like stock options. So more shares exist. I don't know how any of it works. Yeah.
So the takeover gets approved and Mom Corp wants to buy up all the shares and everyone's really pissed until suddenly they realize that the shares are worth $107 each. So everyone is a millionaire.
Yeah. Leela says, suddenly I have opinions about the capital gains tax.
Very funny. Very appropriate, I think, too.
Yeah. Or in working in the tech world, this does happen where it's like you have a bunch of like peons that are, you know, like right out of college and they accumulate 9 months worth of vested stock, you know, shares. And then the company gets sold and they're like, wait a minute, what? Like, what is happening?
Yes. Yes, I think you and I had this conversation where I was given a tiny pittance of some shares that potentially could have value in the future. And all of a sudden I was like, okay, I've read like four articles about what the hell this means and what happens and what I'm supposed to do with it and what it means that there's like a cliff after a year. So anyway, they did not turn into anything, if anyone's wondering.
Lindsay is not fabulously wealthy now.
Unfortunately. But yes, that's why I'm still doing this podcast for free, is because I don't need the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. So Fry is now having a moment where he's like, as a friend, please stop this hostile takeover or whatever. And he won't, because he's an 80s guy and friendship means nothing to him.
Yes. We have some nice Zoidberg. Zoidberg's wondering if his sandwich has appreciated in value. And it is just, he picks it up and it's just rotten. Kind of reminiscent of Homer's sandwich. Sandwich.
I'd like to be alone with the sandwich now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so every bone in his body suddenly starts breaking. And the scene is very gross, but it's very funny.
Very, very intense. Yeah, contorting. Every bone is like contorting in a horrible direction.
And loudly. The sounds are so bad. So much snapping.
He says, I was so busy being an 80s guy that I forgot to cure my bonitis.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the most iconic line of the episode, Alex, would you like to deliver it?
Yes. As he is dying, he says, my only regret is that I have bonitis.
Yeah. Another big one for Jeremy and me.
I actually didn't remember that line, but as soon as he said it, I realized that one of my friends from college, that was like his, I don't know if it was like Facebook status or info or something. There was some social media presence where that was like, you know, his AIM log off message or the equivalent of that kind of thing. My only regret is that I have bonitis.
Very good. Yeah, it's a very funny line. And he's just in this like horrible pose when he dies. He like pulls up his eyes. It's like, gross. Anyway, but yeah, so Fry, because he's the VP or whatever, he gets control of the shares. Not sure if that's how it works, but who knows. And so he makes a speech about how he's like, I really liked this actually, where it has like the value of the stock above his head. And he's like, he taught me everything I know or everything he knew. And then like the value goes up. And then he's like, but what really counts is friendship. And it's coming down. It's like more important than money, like way down. And he's like, all right, so I've decided to hand over control. And then like goes back up like to the professor, Hubert. And then it goes like way up. And then they see that he's asleep on the stage and it crashes to nothing.
Yes. Zoidberg is excited. He says the conservative sandwich portfolio pays off for the hungry investor.
Yes. Very good. Yes. And the crew tries to stop him. They're like, Fry, don't do this. Like, just let mom buy the shares so we can be millionaires. But it's too late. And Fry's like, well, we're poor either way. So
yeah, I would. Your company is not family. I would very happily let a company be sold off and go our separate ways as millionaires.
Yeah, it was very funny. And he's like, you'd rather be rich than work together? Like, of course.
Everyone's like, yes.
Of course we would. Yeah. So quite a clear loser of this episode, Alex, I would say.
Yeah, a horrible, gruesome death. Maybe the most gruesome one we've seen so far.
I would say no question.
Well, it'd be hard to top even. But yeah, that guy... big loser. I mean, I think he had fun and maybe that's...
friends we made along the way.
Yeah. You know, I think he was just like living his best life and he happened to die a horrible death at the end. So I'll give that a neutral.
Okay. Plus it was like many years after when it should have happened, I guess. But
yeah.
Winners of the episode could have been everyone who made a lot of money, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. So everyone comes out pretty even, I think.
Yeah. Maybe mom is the winner. Like... she returns to having Planet Express as a competitor, but they're pretty incompetent and no real threat to her. So
inconsequential competitors.
Right. Zoidberg, the conservative sandwich portfolio pays off for the hungry investor. At least he's happy.
But then he's like, no, now it's worthless because he ate.
Yeah.
So next up, Alex, is called A Leela of Her Own.
Interesting. A Leela of Her Own. What could this is like clearly a reference to some title. What is it? A place of her own or a
league?
A league of their own? Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Right. So is this Leela joins some sports team and we get the all women's slurm ball or something?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Women part.
Yeah, I mean, you really gave me the assist with that. Of
I did. Yeah. Yes, but yes, that's largely what it's about. Very close. Not a good episode, if I recall correctly. But...
yeah, you got to have a couple stinkers every now and then.
Couple duds, yeah. So, how can people get in touch with us if they would like to do so?
Yes. Well, first of all, at Pod of Tomorrow on Twitter/X, loyal listener Fernando, tweeting out all of our episodes whenever we post it. Very enthusiastic about the podcast. I'm looking it up now. Appears, let me look at this. Yes, appears so he tweeted out, let's see, what's up Futurama, hashtag Futurama fans, new episode of Pod of Tomorrow is up, Godfellas, hashtag Bender is great, we love the getting the word of the podcast out there, and mission success, a bot, hot girls sexy with two s's .com/ID9761 has liked the post. So it's all
engagement.
Twitter is all working just as everyone drew it up. So continue to do that kind of stuff. And then podoftomorrow@gmail.com if you want to write us emails with thoughts on episodes and such.
Beautiful. Fernando, thank you for doing the work of our social media marketing. Oh well, my God.
I just love that our personal Twitter account was followed by a million bots, and then anyone associated with us is also now being overrun by bots.
It's Elon's ex and we're just living in it, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh my God. Incredible. All right. Well, you can hear more from me over on BoJack Horse Pod talking about Tuca and Birdie. We have one more episode left to go and then it's over forever. So
wow.
Check it out.
How did these final episodes go for you guys?
Good. We still have to record the very, very last one, but the last ones are good.
Nice.
Yeah. So, all right. And I'll see you next week for a crappier episode.
Bye.